kept waiting for you to say, and this was brought to you by Ralston Purina. The podcasts are the teaching part of the radio broadcast that you miss that comes on at 10:30. We'll put a plug in for our Brenham radio station, KWHI, 1080 on your AM dial. It comes on 10:30 while you're at Sunday school or while you're supposed to be at Sunday school. So our folks miss that. So the idea originally was so that our folks could hear what's on the radio program every week, but without the music and the bells and whistles. This is just the teaching part of that. So, amen. Appreciate you looking in. Speaking of that, those of you that are looking in right now on our YouTube channel, thank you so much for doing that. We appreciate you doing, being a part of the worship service here. If you open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, where we had our reading previously, chapter number 8, verse 5. The Bible said, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. I would remind us that we're examining together the unchanging mission and work of the church. And our text is in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We have an unchanging Lord and Savior, an unchanging Bible, and an unchanging church. Now, that does not appeal to the flesh and to the world. They want constant change to keep interested, to keep their attention, to keep their fleshly minds interested and their emotions excited. The spiritual never enters in. If you'll look up, don't lose your place in Hebrews, go to Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 17. You get to see that culture demonstrated. Nothing new, just names are changed. But in Acts chapter 17, verse 16, Paul is in Greece, in the city of Athens. Now, verse 16 of chapter 17 of Acts. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, and we can trace two of those five major schools of Greek philosophy into theology today. Again, nothing new. The theology is nothing but a reworked Greek philosophy system. Theology being a school of philosophy rather than biblical truth, biblical theology, what God himself has revealed to be true in the Bible versus someone's system of philosophy based on the Bible. Big difference. Certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Some, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine thereof thou speakest is. Something new. Something, we want to hear about it. Verse 20, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Watch verse 21 in parentheses. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. How many times can you change a cell phone? You have to have the newest and the latest because it has all these features. The new and improved. Nothing is new. Nothing. Remember that. Then Paul stood, verse 22, in the midst of Mars Hill. And he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. You're too religious. You're worshiping gods of your own imagination and of your own invention. You're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, in case they missed one. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And then he begins to give them the gospel. And then verse 30, he said, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Change your thinking. Change your beliefs, admitting that you're wrong. It doesn't appeal to people. Nobody, especially if you're eat up with pride, no one's going to say I was wrong. You might say I was misled, but you're never going to say I was wrong. Then he said, and the reason to do this, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, when he got to that statement, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. You've got to be kidding me. And therein lies the crux of the gospel and why the world rejects it, because they cannot understand it or believe it with their mind or prove it. But despite that, in the very seat of human philosophy, it said that others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. I'd like to hear some more about this. Something is resonating in me. Something about that rings true. And so God always has those people that through circumstances, they've come to an end of themselves. They've come to a place of crisis where they cannot deal with it. They cannot handle it. They cannot change it. They cannot scheme their way out of it. And as God has them in that corner, they realize that they have believed and been living a lie. And it's all been about self. It's all about me. I look at the world. I even look at God through my own lenses. And then when that crisis comes and you realize life and death, that there really is a God, you say, I think I want to hear some more about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Corinth is also in Greece. So the same culture, the same mindset, this I have to believe it in order for, I have to understand it and accept it in order for me to believe it. That's the mindset. I have to buy into it. It has to filter through me for approval. And that's why most reject the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." So if you've got baptism as a part of salvation, this verse is going to totally confuse you. Paul said, "Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." If you do not preach with wisdom of words, and it's not really preaching, if you teach with wisdom of words, you will be popular. When's the last time you saw a preacher who was not using words of man's wisdom excel in the media? World doesn't listen to it. Carnal Christians won't listen to it. He said, "But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." That's why he said in Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Because the temptation is to trim the gospel, to modify the gospel to where it is acceptable with the wisdom of the world. And it won't appear to be foolish. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, a miracle. The Jews. But the Greeks, the Gentiles, seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Are these not fishermen? Isn't this the carpenter's son? How do they have these words? How can they speak this way? God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now go back to our text in Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Now of the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. So far in 7 chapters, let me sum it up for you. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make it any way you want. Send somebody else. You see how we want to control it? We look at God's design and say, I got a better idea. We look at what God has revealed about himself that we don't like and we say, oh no, that couldn't be true. People come to Jeremiah and say, tell us what the Lord says and we'll do it. Jeremiah said, here's what the Lord said. And they said, we're not going to do it. Because we've already got our minds to go to Egypt. We just wanted to see if you're going to agree. No, he said, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now let's go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. We just took up an offering. Who was that to? Oh, that's to the church. Wrong. It's to the Lord. The church has been given the responsibility by the Lord to be a steward of that which has been given to him. And we pray and seek the Lord's will as to what he wants done with his offerings that were given to him as an act of worship. I don't see why I have to send any money when it comes to the things of God, but when it comes to the things of the world, you don't have any problem. You empty your money. And it's broke before you get home. Or you're gonna make somebody rich gambling. I love you. But how stupid are you? Because you think you can get something for nothing, you become bankrupt and have nothing. Does that make any sense? You want something to scratch off, scratch your eyebrows off. Getting to where I don't see how you see. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly. You see, it begins in the heart. That's why you don't want to give anything. There's no love in your heart for God. With his heart you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold. Not copper from pennies, unless that's all you got, widow. And silver and brass. blue and purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, sheetum wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate. That's what the priest wore. So give for the building that you're going to worship me in. And verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Pattern, the plan, the design, the specs, the specifications. You don't just throw a building together up, Greg. Oh, I think I'm going to nail a board there. No, it falls when you do that. Dress pattern, you know, that the ladies sew. Sorry, what was I thinking? Boy, did I date myself. I was back in the school when the girls had home economics and the guys had wood shop. So the girls learned the pattern of how to sew. The guys learn a pattern of how to cut out wood. No wonder they've done away with that. You can be independent. All right, so it's now the picture that you see on the internet of the clothes you want to buy from Amazon. Okay, now I got you. Chapter 26, verse 30. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle, raise it up. That comes a horse rearing up on his hind legs. Raise up, barn raising. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. Question is asked in Job chapter 33, should it be according to thy mind? Should it be according to thy mind or according to God's word? That's the question. The Lord is telling Moses, who was trained in all of the culture, education, philosophy, and modern skills of Egypt, I don't need your plan. I don't need your vast knowledge, your cleverness. I didn't ask you for input or for your help to draw up these plans. Follow these plans exactly, Moses. This was done, the Lord said, with the counsel of my own will, for my purpose, for my glory. For my will. Now, if the Lord takes this much care and attention to detail to raise up an earthly tent in the wilderness, how much more with the building of His church? The church is His espoused bride. Revelation 19 says the church is to be arrayed, His bride is to be arrayed in fine white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints that we got from the righteousness of Christ being worked in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. The world and the carnality of some Christians are looking at the bride and they're saying that old white dress is out of date. What's in vogue today is for women to look like men and men to look like women. They're no longer attracted to the bride. She's not modern. She's not what people want today. So here's what they're doing. They've stripped her of her white linen, just as Joseph's brothers stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors. They've painted her face and dressed her up like a prostitute. And they've put her before lost and carnal men in order to draw them back into the church. The music is out of the bars and clubs. And when the bridegroom comes for his bride, what do you think he's going to do? Same thing I would do if you mess with my bride. They're dressing up the church not so that she would be pleasing to God's people, but so she'll be pleasing to the ungodly and to the carnal. The Lord never gave that plan, that pattern. The church belongs to Him. Let me close with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You're God's planting. You're God's garden. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, we've seen that before. Oh, but wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Everything that was your plan, your agenda, everything that you set out to do in the power of your flesh, good and bad, is going to pass the fire of God's judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, where God's people are going to be judged to what they have done with salvation, what they have done with the indwelling Holy Spirit and His ability to empower us to do what we've been called to do by the Lord. We're going to give an account. The wood, the hay, the stubble, what we've done in the flesh, what we've changed of His pattern. Not going to last. And it says we'll suffer loss. No big deal. I don't get that reaction here. Suffer loss. Standing before the Lord, about to enter into his kingdom to rule and to reign with him for 1,000 years. And we have nothing. What do you think we're going to do for 1,000 years? Suffer the loss of reward of what could have been then and what could have been here. We're wasting our time. Let me rephrase that. We're wasting God's time with the world. And we're so choked with activities of the world that we can't even serve God. And if we do, we squeeze him into the calendar when it's convenient. And we say, no big deal. What do you think it does to the heart of God when you're more faithful to your school and to school activities and your work and work activities, to the community and community activities, to your family and family activities than God? It says, you're not first. You're not preeminent. I don't love you with all of my heart, body, soul, and strength, just part of it. And I do things according to my mind, not what you said. That's what we're saying with our actions. And no, it's not popular. This will probably be the fewest views on YouTube. But that's not why we do this. We don't do this for popularity. That's why there's empty pews here. I don't trim the message so as not to offend someone who doesn't believe the Bible. Sorry. We're either going to have church according to how God says, or we're going to shut up and go home. You done got the wrong preacher if you hadn't figured that out in 15 plus years. So it has to be according to what God said. Period. Regardless of what you or Dr. Stumpjumper thinks about it. But I want to tell you something. The other side of it is when we stand before Jesus Christ having done what he's called us to do. You talk about a time we're going to have. So, oh, but we're going to be in heaven. No, we're going to be on earth. Read your Bible. Revelation 21 and 22. That's the heaven you're thinking of. Revelation 19 and 20 is 1,000 years back here. The Lord created this earth and man destroyed it with sin and destroyed himself in the process. The Lord says, I'm going to show you what I originally intended it for it to be. So, only one point, one truth. Church cannot be what we want it to be, what we think it should be. It's got to be according to what God said in his word. And guess who the church is? So our lives cannot be what we want. But a funny thing is that when you live your life according to what God has designed your life to be, you'll be amazed at the joy and the peace, the contentment, the sense of fulfillment that you're accomplishing a purpose that you were created to accomplish. You can't get that from the world. You can't get that from yourself. It only comes from the Lord. So, it's your choice, but I don't see how you would not want to choose God and his. I don't. I really don't. Because the other way fails. So, Word of God. These are God's words or they're man's words? They're God's word. We need to believe them, obey them, and put them into effect in our life. And then First thing we're to be doing as a church is pray. My house shall be called a house of. So prayer should be going on. What's this house? It houses God in the person of the Holy Spirit. This house should be a house of prayer. You pray at home? Pray everywhere you go? It's according to His design. Father, thank You so much for the privilege of prayer, not the duty. Lord, it's a privilege to be able to speak to You. The God of the universe, the God of eternity, the God who spoke a word and all this came into being. And You have pleasure and delight in Your children coming up to You and talking to You? But You said You do. So, Lord, I find out that the more I talk to You, the more I enjoy and delight in Your company as well. Help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Not just, Lord, I want my will. I want my will. Do this for me, God. Change Your will to match my will. No. Lord, what's Your will? What do You want me to do today? Lead me today. Lord, may I honor You today. May I glorify You today. Lord, change our mindset from the world and from the culture that we're too involved in, and change it to the mind of Christ, to Your mind, to Your words, to Your teachings, to Your revelation of Yourself and Your will for us. And may we get on board and line up our wills and our lives according to the pattern that You've showed us in Your word, so that we can be all You've saved us to be and called us to be, to accomplish what You have intended for us to accomplish for Your glory and honor, in this place and in this time that You've placed us in. Thank You for these, Lord, that are here. Lord, I pray we have been challenged with Your word, not just impressed and then it lasts till we go out the door, but a heart change would take place in us, that the rest of the day and tomorrow would be different, that we would not govern what we do, but we would get over into the passenger seat and let You drive us where You want us to be and do and say what You want us to do and say. Thank You for this church, Lord. Thank You for a group of people that hungers and thirsts after Your righteousness. Lord, that desires to know Your will. Thank You, Lord, for a church that has a heart, Lord, to want to glorify You in everything that they do. Thank You for our church, Lord, that ministers the gospel to the lost, minister to the needs of others. May it continue, Lord, empowered by Your Holy Spirit, hedged about, protected, Lord, from the enemies of the cross, from thwarting Your will and hindering Your will. But, Lord, may it be accomplished. Lord, we love You, and we're here to express that love in the form of worship in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, there's an invitation that's extended now to the lost. You knock at the door. You ask that it be opened, and You come into their hearts and lives and take over and be Lord and be Savior. Lord, You knock on the door of the church and ask for entrance back in and to preeminence and glory and honor. May we as the church open the door and say, Lord Jesus, come in and be Lord and govern. according to your pattern. We pray in Jesus' name.